Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the Human Hand Grenade Index, and it is up on the website, so I'll throw a link in the show notes here. But I just want to do a quick rundown. There are a couple of names I think warrant some consideration here as things change quickly. All right, so San Francisco, pretty static. Mostert, Sermon 1-2. It is Mostert 1, Sermon 2. Elijah Mitchell, Michael Hasty are on the back end of that. But I think Mostert's going to be the lead guy. New Orleans Saints, it's Kamara, it's Tony Jones, Latavius Murray out. I still think Latavius Murray's a hold. Tony Jones, go get him if he's out there. I'll say this. I was asked this question earlier this week, and I think the answer that I have, it's formed a lot by the last month, which is how aggressive do you need to be? Like, A, you want to be aggressive, but these things change quickly. There is a certain segment of the dynasty football or the fantasy football community that's pretty bearish, or that says like, hey, we can't get these right in terms of who the injury away guy actually is, the one that's valuable. So there's some thought to that. So would you rather take 100 shots at a buck a piece, or would you rather take 10 shots at 10 a piece? If you got $100 to spend, right? I mean, I think that there's some argument that being in the volume game at this and just constantly tinkering around the edges makes some sense. And I don't know how many bodies there are that can be the backup running back and with the Saints right now, but you sort of get the idea, right? Like, we've gone through this. We've did the Xavier Jones thing. We did the Jake Funk thing. We did, you know, heck, we did Tony Jones. We did Tyson Williams, and then they bring in Le'Veon Bell, right? So like we've done this story before. I do think it's constantly like, hey, let's pick up the third guy. You know, Dwayne Washington as a guy for a buck that I think, like, hey, he's a Kamara injury and a Tony Jones not being very good away from being a very valuable running back, right? Like that's pretty wild to say, but again, that's a buck instead of spending, you know, 40% of your waiver budget, right? So again, I'll take 10% shots. I don't like to take a ton of them, right? This is one that probably matters. You're probably not going to get them at 10%, but like that's 10 to 20% maybe on a guy like this. But I'd rather fire a lot of bullets, right? So maybe you do one of these. Maybe this is a situation you do it in, but I'd rather fire a lot of bullets than just take one. So just sort of keep that in mind. And this last month has sort of really affirmed my process on this. This is, you know, the whole waiver budget thing is actually something that I haven't done for a long time. I didn't really play. I played more like a waiver claim order. It's really only been like the second or third offseason that I've actually done a lot of the waiver stuff. So this is still a technique and still a strategy I'm trying to employ. But I tend to think like I'd rather do medium-sized bets, a lot of them, and then some small bets than to do like three or four big bets, especially at the running back position, because we don't get it right. If there's a clear quarterback or something like that, or, you know, that I think that makes more sense to blow a huge amount of your budget on. All right, Pollard behind Zeke. Madison behind Dalvin Cook, no change there. Sony Michel behind Darrell Henderson, no real change there. Hunt behind Chubb, shouldn't be a change there. Kylan Hill deserves to probably be rostered for a buck behind A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, so just check that, would sort of be my thought. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think it's Darrell Williams and then Jerick McKinnon. If McKinnon's available, I think probably, you know, he's a cheap guy to stash. Again, if you have the rosters, it's just like 25, 30 men, though, at that point. So just keep that in mind. I have zero good idea about what's going to happen in Tampa. I will say, like, I was doing some stuff on them this week. They were an outrageously high pass rate team in the red zone and basically all the scenarios. Like, this could be a scenario where Fournette gets squeezed pretty hard. So, it's going to be a while until I feel comfortable starting someone there or multiple, you know, at least an injury, if not multiple injuries away. All right, McNichols should be owned and rostered in Tennessee. That's one, again, I'd take 5 to 10% on that, then spend, you know, 50% on Tony Jones. So just by way of example. Wayne Gallman, the backup in Atlanta. Suddenly, like, that's a interesting, like, oh, wait, there's an analytics dynasty corner. Mike Davis and Wayne Gallman. Cordell Patterson there as well. I wouldn't rule out that, like, I've talked about this before. I think there's a non-zero chance that Atlanta throws the ball a wild amount and that Cordell Patterson is actually what they're looking for in terms of running back. Like, you go back and look at some of the stuff that they've done. Like, they were in on Darrington Evans, who offered some of that. They were in on Mike Davis, who offered some of that. They brought in Patterson, who offered some of that. Like, they've absolutely, in the past, like, couple years, have really been on guys that have production in the passing game. And if they're going to throw the ball, like, 72% like they did, or 71% like they did in the preseason, like, Davis and Patterson, absolutely interesting. All right, Damian Harris is in New England. I think you, Ramondre Stevenson should be rostered. That's not a real issue. J.J. Taylor, probably deeper down the line. I don't have a problem with that. It's going to be tough in like 20 to 24 or something like that. You get 28, it gets more reasonable. Again, you got to have realistic expectations of that. James White, I'm cashing out if I can possibly do it at any point. Like, I want the roster spot over James White. Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, and then Peyton Barber. That's an interesting one. Again, just look at dollar bets. That Peyton Barber's an interesting dollar bet guy. Because if we don't think that Drake's particularly good, and if something happens to Jacobs, and like the argument that Jacobs is like a mildly better version than Peyton Barber is already out there. So it's actually not, you know, it's funny that the dynasty community just sort of let that walk. Again, that's a place where I'd optimize for a buck instead of spending, you know, 60 on, you know, 60% of my budget on Tony Jones. All right, Marlon Mack. I've actually seen him cut. I think that warrants some consideration if he's out there. I think he's probably the injury way guy. Jonathan Taylor is the lead back. Gus Edwards is the starter in Baltimore. Tyson Williams, again, then you get Le'Veon Bell. Moderately aggressive on Bell. Again, maybe, you know, again, I don't like to spend a ton on these guys because we've already gone through, like, hey, there's like three or four $1 guys. Again, I want to cycle through this because we don't necessarily know. So, again, I would maybe throw a few percentage points at Le'Veon Bell. I wouldn't throw a ton. If Tyson Williams, maybe similar, maybe a little bit more. But, like, again, I wouldn't probably go overboard at 10%. We want to get these guys when they're at 1, not at 15 or 50, right? That's kind of the goal on this stuff. All right, Najee Harris. I'm not really sure what the answer is. Maybe it's Snell. Maybe it's Blash. I tend to think it's McFarlane. He's on IR. Like, I don't know. It's probably a jacked up situation no matter what happens. And maybe I should actually bump it down to a low value human hand grenade situation. But shots on as many people as you can get at low prices. Snell, I think, is my best bet there. But as you can tell from my tone of my voice, that is how much confidence I exude. Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. I like the situation for both, right? I mean, it's a pretty clear situation for me. Chase Edmonds, James Conner. I've talked about this one before. I think they're similarly situated. If either one goes down, you're going to consolidate both the role. I think it's interesting. I have Chuba Hubbard ahead of Royce Freeman, but I don't have a ton of confidence there for Carolina behind Christian McCaffrey. Again, if you get Royce Freeman for a buck, love it. You know, that sort of mentality. Just keep going with this. Melvin Gordon ahead of Javonte Williams. I think Javonte Williams is going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen as early as we think it's going to happen. Looks like Barkley's going to play week one. Devontae Booker's the backup to own. Again, even though Barkley's going to play, it looks like he's going to play. Knock on wood. We're knocking on wood. We want to see him play. I'm still holding Devontae Booker. Again, maybe if it's a third to the guy that owns Barkley, if you're looking to clear some roster spot, that's fine. Or he rosters Barkley, that's fine. But I've had a ton of them. And I just think that you just, unless you're getting like a third plus or you get the second from him, like, again, I think he's got the ability to outproduce that. Then, you know, we'll see here with Barkley and his longevity and all that. But those live human hand grenades at 3%, especially, or at a third round rookie pick, especially when you can't roster replacement. So if we're talking like 30 man rosters, if you can't get someone that's sort of in the same vein, it's a little bit tougher. to justify. All right, David Montgomery, I think, has got sneaky upside. I'm not sure how much Damian Williams has left on the treads. You got Khalil Herbert there. Tariq Cohen's on pup. Like, I don't know. I think David Montgomery's pretty good. Maybe you get a chance to cash out for, you know, Damian Williams if there's a Montgomery injury. I think Herbert probably matters for a dollar. Again, that's if he's available, he might not be. But, like, you get the idea on these. Like, the running back three, I think, is interesting and non situations where it's like Tony Pollard or Madison, you know, just thinking along the lines of that. Another one, Chris Evans. I think, like, if you're looking for someone to roster, Chris Evans for a buck. Again, he offers, they like him as a receiving guy too. I think that's interesting. And he's of course behind Mixon and Pirine. I like Pirine ahead of Evans, but I think, again, looking how many third shots can we get, it might be tough in 28 man. That's one I think you're sort of you're giving some consideration to in monitoring at least. Philadelphia, Miles Sanders, you got Boston Scott, you got Kenneth Gainwell. We'll see there in terms of what the rest of that situation looks like. Latavius Murray's potential landing spot for some of these teams too. That's one. Chris Carson, starter in Seattle. You got Rashad Penny, DJ Dallas, Alex Collins, Travis Homer. I mean, I think take a shot at the cheapest one of Penny, Dallas, and Collins. I don't think Homer's going to be the guy, but again, just sort of invest a shot. That's fine. But dollar bets, right? Small bets. James Robinson in Jacksonville. Again, I cashed out for essentially a first, which was nice. Carlos Hyde's the backup. It wouldn't shock me if he led them in carries. So just keep that in mind. He's warrants some consideration if he's out there. Divino Zigbo on practice squad. Again, with the rules now, being on practice squad isn't like a death knell, so just keep that in mind. Tevin Coleman lists as a starter for the Jets. Ty Johnson, wouldn't shock me if he's the starter. Michael Carter kind of buried-ish. I think it's unlikely that the starter's on their roster next year, so for what that's worth. I'd rather take dollar shots. Again, I've had Tevin Coleman when people are like, you're an idiot for a while. Like, why are you still rostering him? Well, because, you know, it's week one and he's listed as a starter on his team because that's kind of what happens in these situations. And, you know, we'll see how that ultimately unfolds. I don't know if you get to cash out anything more than a second, but I'm going to try if he goes, you know, 12 for 86 and a touchdown, we're in. I think Mark Ingram might start for Houston. You got Philip Lindsay and David Johnson there. Just a miserable situation. I talked a little bit about this in the other show. The whole Tyrod, starting Tyrod thing is actually, if you're not trying to win, right? If you're trying to be in the business of getting a really high draft pick, starting Tyrod Taylor's a mistake. So we'll see what they do here. I think this team might be more competent than people maybe give them credit for. Miles Gaskin, Miami. You got Malcolm Brown, Selvin Ahmed. I've got low level of confidence basically across the board. I don't really know what's going to happen. I think I'd take a second for anyone if I could get it. Devin Singletary, starter. Zach Moss, Matt Breida, low confidence. Like, I'd take a second for anyone if I could get it as well here. Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson, Josh Kelly, Larry Roundtree. I've taken a shot on Roundtree. I think if this is one of those situations where it's probably if one of the guys gets it, that it becomes a committee and it's probably not that valuable. So I have it actually in a low value range, but I'm pretty interested. I think Eckler is pretty good. I think if I had to say, like, hey, who's a guy that's actually good deeper? I actually think it's probably Roundtree. And he probably warrants a buck if he's available. And then you've got Washington, Jarrett Patterson. He's out there again. This is a classic scenario. Would you rather pay 20% for a guy like Jarrett Patterson, or would you rather pay a buck for 10 or 12 for 20 Larry Roundtrees? Like, I think you'd rather pay for Larry Roundtree because I don't think they're that different. It's just a different situation, and we know how much that changes. So I'm pretty bullish on Antonio Gibson too. I like the offense. So that's basically the story of where we're at. I think Tyler Croft's one that you probably want to add on waivers. There's some good stuff coming out of the Jets for him. And that's pretty much your story here. You know, we did a whole bunch of waiver stuff earlier on. Like, there's not a ton changing here. Post cuts. Trent Sherfield's one that's interesting, like 30, 35 man. I think that's interesting from a receiver perspective. But yeah, so that'll pretty much do it. Again, tighten up the rosters, churn and running backs. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.